you have your Bible, let's set ourselves up for success, and let's make our confession of faith together. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith and my life gets stronger and stronger. Can you give God a big praise for that? Amen. You know, a couple more things that I forgot to tell you, but just to remind you that we're going to be celebrating our 35th anniversary as a church. It's the first weekend of November, and 35 years ago, we came here and planted this church with 35 people in the St. Peter's Library. And so on that weekend, pray for that weekend, amen? You know, God's big on remembering what He does for us. You know, in the Bible, they made memorials. They did all kinds of things to remind themselves of the goodness of God. Our 35th anniversary, the first week in November, you know, let us all stop and pause and believe God and thank God that when, especially for all that He's done in your life and all that He's done in the life of our church. Amen. Robert Madu is our guest speaker for all the services that weekend, so we're excited about that. Bring a visitor, bring someone with you. One more thing, I'm starting a men's prayer meeting. It's going to be on a Wednesday, the first Wednesday of every month. Just the first Wednesday, it's just for men. Actually, I just started it for the guys on our staff. I was just going to do it for the guys on our staff. It's from 12 to 1 o'clock, 1 hour, praying with me, the first Wednesday of every month. And then some people begin to say, you know, Pastor, you need to open that up to the men of the church that might want to come and sit in and pray with us. So I'm a good pastor. I obey my staff. So I said, okay, we'll open it up to the guys of our church who want to come and pray with us for 1 hour. You can come and go on the first Wednesday of every month. Y'all pray for that? Yes. Amen. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. We're in a series called The Power of Generosity. The Power of Generosity. Now, I just want to encourage you, stay with me for this month on this series, because I believe it is going to bring transformation in our lives. If not only that we hear it, but we act on it and apply it. And Mekki so wonderfully has given us, you should have received it again, a tool, a steps we can take for 31 days, do a random act of kindness, one a day. Amen, church? And you know, we can make a difference through a spirit of generosity. You know, don't answer me out loud, but who have you helped this past week? Who have you went out of your way to help this last week? What was the random act of kindness you did every day, at least one, in the last 7 days from once we met last weekend? You see, it's so important that we live intentional. We live in a world full of greed. They do not know generosity. We live in a world where people are selfish. You and I as Christians are to be unselfish. You and I are not to be getters. We are to be givers. You know, when I was growing up as a little guy, and I'm growing up in grade school, I couldn't wait. Christmas is coming up. I couldn't wait for Christmas. And, you know, I was so excited about Christmas as a little kid because I was excited about what I was going to get, what was going to be under the tree for me. And then, you know, as I begin to grow up, you know, even as I was growing up as a teenager, it was, what am I going to get? What's going to be under the tree for me? And then, you know, now that I'm a father and I'm a grandfather, you know what? Christmas, I don't really care if I get anything at all. It's all about seeing my children and my grandchildren receive a gift and to see their expression and to see them blessed. Well, Pastor, what happened from when you were a little kid and it was all about getting to now you're a grandfather and it's all about giving? All I can say is I grew up. Come on, somebody. You know what I mean by that? The more spiritually mature we become, the more we're focused on giving and not getting. As we grow up, it's not about us, it's about others. The world is all about getting, but you and I as Christians are about giving. The world is into greed, we're into giving. The world is very stingy and selfish, but you and I are to be liberal and we are to be unselfish. Y'all with me so far, church? Now, generosity is an attitude. It's not an offering. I am not talking about an offering. I'm not talking just about money. I'm talking about a spirit. I'm talking about an attitude. So when you say generosity, I want you to think with me of an attitude, and that we are to grow and develop in this attitude. It's not a one-time offering to Florida Relief. It's not a one-time offering to give turkeys out at Thanksgiving to single moms and families. It's more than a one-time offering. It's more that it's a lifestyle. Everyone say lifestyle. So the power of generosity, how it will transform us, impact other people, and prepare your future in heaven, it's all about an attitude. It's all about a lifestyle. It's not once in a while when we're moved by something we see on television or on YouTube or a disaster that we hear about. It's a lifestyle. It's a spirit. It's an attitude. And it'll absolutely transform us, impact others, and build the kingdom. You with me so far, church? Amen. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 11, and let's look at verse 24. Now, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that the world of the generous. So I'm talking to you all month about what does that look like? What does the world of the generous look like? You know, we're not talking about being generous once in a while. We're not talking about an offering. We're not talking about an event or a disaster. We're talking about a lifestyle, an attitude. What is the world of the generous? We're talking about the power of generosity. What does their world look like? Here's what the Bible says. It gets larger, and it gets larger. So the world of the generous doesn't diminish. The world of the generous doesn't get smaller. When you and I develop this generosity, we should think bigger, talk bigger, believe bigger, expect bigger. If I don't have increase in my life today, then I need to examine my life. Because if I'm generous with my time and my talent and my tithe, increase should be all over me. You know, I'm so thankful for Friday night. You know, our paid staff, our dream team, and then our volunteers, our dream team, they came and they helped Joy FM set up for the concert Friday night. And they worked hard, and they came early on Friday. What were they doing? They were generous. Our volunteers, our dream team, they were generous, weren't they? With their time and their talent and their treasure. And then many of them were here Friday night after the group left. Our team was here till 1:30 in the morning, Saturday morning, putting things back up to be ready for the weekend. What is that? An attitude of generosity. Go ahead, give them a hand clap. Amen. And see, with their generosity, with what? Their time, what happened? They affected people, got born again, had an experience with God, had an encounter with God, their spirits were lifted, their worship life was expanded. There were other churches that were here that brought their worship team. So we are affecting other churches on Sunday morning today because we affected their worship team. They go back and affect their churches. It all happened through the spirit of generosity of our dream team at Church on the Rock. Isn't that awesome? That's how it works. So the world of the generous, we shouldn't be downsizing. We shouldn't be thinking cutting back. We shouldn't be thinking, you know, shrinking our dreams, shrinking our goals, downsizing. The Bible says that the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. This is Bible, and it says the world of a generous person should be expanding. You should be expanding. You should be the prayer of Jabez, asking God for more, because we know what the more is for. We should be asking God for more territory, more influence, more resources, more opportunities, more ministry, more impact, more favor. So the world of a generous person, the Bible says it should be increasing. Now, if you and I, you know, one of the ways that we have transformation is we have to have evaluation. We have to be self-aware. So if we're not having increase in our life today, maybe it's because we're not generous. It got real quiet right about here. But maybe, you know, we're not have a revelation of what generosity really is. And maybe the world is on us more than we're on them. Because the world is self-centered. The world is selfish. The world is greedy. And the world is about getting. And you and I in the kingdom are totally opposite of that. We're about giving, about being liberal, about being unselfish, about helping other people. Amen, church? So the world of the generous gets larger and larger. So let's ask ourselves the question, is my world expanding? Is my world getting larger and larger? It goes on to say the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. You ever thought about this? You ever heard of someone, boy, they're just a miser? You know, they're just a miser. They're cheap. They're just a miser. You ever saw the root word of miserable is miser? So the person who is selfish, self-centered, the person who's all about getting, they're a miser. They're miserable. They're unhappy. They're looking for things and materialism and people to fill the void in their life. And it just doesn't work, does it, church? So they're looking in all the wrong places. So they're up and they're down. One Sunday they're up and the next Sunday they're down. One Monday morning they're up and the next Monday morning they're down. They have the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows. And guess what? Moody people never get a bonus. Moody people never get the raise. Moody people never get the job. So notice that the person, though, that's generous like you, like me, like our church, and we're growing in this attitude and lifestyle, our world should be getting bigger. Our world should be expanding. You should be having your territory, your dreams, your goals, your ambitions, your aspirations should be getting larger and larger. If not, I need to fix something. Amen, church? All right, so I'm going to show you what that world looks like and the characteristic of a generous person in just a moment. Verse 25. Those who bless other people will be not only blessed, but will be abundantly blessed. Those who bless other people will be abundantly blessed. Well, Pastor, nobody ever blesses me. Well, then maybe I need to ask myself, do I bless other people? Well, Pastor, everybody else always gets the breakthroughs, and they get the blessing, and they get this, that, and the other. Well, if I'm not getting any of that, then I need to ask myself, am I blessing other people? Is that my focus when I get up in the morning? I'm blessed to be a blessing. And I'm intentionally doing a random act of kindness one a day, at least every day. And then you create a momentum. And you create a momentum of sowing it every day, a random act of kindness. And what's going to happen, eventually, you're going to begin to reap on a rhythm back. Amen? You know, this last week, Thursday, I was visiting with a widow. She's a friend of our family. She's a great lady. She doesn't come to our church, lives in St. Louis, lives all by herself. She's in her 80s. But she's been a friend to our family for about the last 10 years. And, you know, every year in the fall, her and I will have a conversation. She loves those good apples in the fall, you know, those hard, crisp, juicy apples in the fall. So every year about this time, because we've known her for about 10 years, she's a widow, lives all by herself. And every year about this time, we'll talk about apples and how good they are, and this kind, a Gala or a Honeycrisp or Red Delicious or whatever it is. And so I was talking to her Thursday. And I said to her, her name is Tess, wonderful lady. I said, Tess, have you had any good apples this year? Oh, yeah, Pastor Blunt. I've had some really good ones. Those Gala apples, I've just been enjoying those apples. I said, that's cool. I said, have you had any of those caramel with the nuts? Great big supersize apples. Because, you know, whenever I see them put them out in the grocery store, I know the fall has arrived. Right? Oh, don't you love those big, juicy caramel with the nuts on apples? Oh, I do too. And I said to her, Tess, I said, did you get one of those caramel apples this year yet? She goes, oh, no, Pastor, I was at Dierbergs, and I was looking at them, and I saw them there in the produce aisle. I saw those big, juicy caramel apples with the nuts all over them. I said, Tess, were they talking to you? She goes, yeah, they were saying, come to me, Tess, come to me. And she goes, but she said, Pastor, I never got one. I said, why didn't you get one, Tess? And she's a widow on a limited income, living by herself. She said, you know, Pastor, I looked at those and they've raised the prices on those this year. She goes, you know, they were $6.95. And she said, I couldn't afford it, Pastor, so I had to pass them by. And something on the inside of me said, meet that need. What is that? A spirit of generosity. What is that? So something on the inside of me. So we got done, and I said to her, I said, Tess, you know what? I just want to bless you, and I want to give you enough money to get more than one or two of those apples. I just handed it to her. She's 80 years old plus. She just started jumping around, shouting, all excited. What happened? That little act of random act of kindness changed her world. It made me happy. It transformed my life, but it impacted her. Amen, church. That was on Thursday. Those who bless others will be abundantly blessed. And that verse says those who refresh others will be refreshed. Maybe today if I'm out of wind, I'm burnt out, I have no vim or vigor, maybe I'm just running on empty, maybe I'm not refreshed because I'm not refreshing other people. You know, Pastor Kim already said it. The Bible says in James, when you're sick, go find sick people and pray for them to be healed, and you'll get your healing. What you sow, you reap. The best thing you can do when you're sad is go make somebody else glad. The best thing you can do when you're down, go lift up other people. It's the best thing you can do. And while refreshing others, you refresh. You won't live in the highs and the lows and the ups and the downs. You'll be refreshed by refreshing what you make happen for others. God will make happen for you, right? So that was on Thursday. And you know, many of you know, Friday, Kim and I celebrated. That's why we weren't at the concert. My wife said, stay home. So like a good little boy, I'm staying home. So our 45th anniversary was Friday. Thank you very much. And so Friday, the UPS guy came to our door, left a package, and one of the wonderful families, generous families of our church, sent a package to our house to celebrate our anniversary. So I brought it in, and I opened it up, and I got it out. And guess what was in that package from this family in our church who wanted to bless their pastors on their anniversary? Let me show you. Let me give you a picture of what was in that. And then you say, Pastor, what's in that? It's full of caramel apples with chocolate added. Now, I'm getting ready to work out right there in Daniel's gym. Notice, got that, and I'm getting ready to work out in the gym. Praise the Lord. So what happened? I sowed, I blessed, I refreshed Tess on Thursday, helping her get caramel apples. Boy, I call that a quick harvest, right? On Friday, somebody from the church blessed Kim and I with caramel and chocolate apples. And then what did I do? I sowed it to my grandkids, and they got blessed. So what was that? To the people who blessed their pastors, they had a twice sown seed. Oh my goodness, see how that works? Random acts of kindness. Generosity, I'm not talking about a one-time offering to Florida. I'm not talking about a one-time extra event on a Friday night. I'm talking about a lifestyle. I'm talking about an attitude. I'm talking about a mindset that's contrary to the world. Look with me in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Galatians 6 and verse 7. I love this verse. Don't be under an illusion. Don't be deceived. You cannot make a fool of God. And now read this with me, would you? All together, one, two, three. A man or woman's harvest. What is that? The car you drove to church, the truck, the clothes you're wearing, the money in your account, where your kids go to school, where you're going to eat for a restaurant, where you're going to send your kids to school, how much you can give the today to help the ministry of Church on the Rock. That's your harvest. Your level of life is your harvest. And what I want you to know, this is such an awesome scripture because it should break you free from any victim mentality. Because your harvest is not dependent on white people or black people or brown people or rich people or poor people or the Democrats or the Republicans or the Libertarians. Your life and the life you're living and the level you're at is entirely dependent on the seeds that you are sowing every day of your life, good or bad, works positive, works negative. And what are those seeds? Your time, your talent, and your treasure. And notice the seeds that you sow, the spirit of greed or giving, the spirit of being selfish or unselfish, the spirit of entitlement or enjoying refreshing others will determine the harvest, the life that you and I are living. That should be good news to you today because that means you're not dependent on your husband, your ex, your parents, your job, your boss, the economy, or whoever's in the White House. That the life that you and I are living is entirely dependent on our mindset. Are we greedy or are we givers? Are we selfish or are we unselfish? And I believe everybody in our church and those watching online, we have an attitude and we are growing in generosity. Give yourselves a hand clap this morning, church. Amen. So let me give you two characteristics of a generous person. Two things that you can believe for today. Is that okay with you? Two things you can believe for, because if you find it in the Bible, you can have it. If you find the promise, it's your inheritance, right? But you have to believe for it. Amen? So let's look at the characteristics of what a godly, generous person's life looks like. Look with me in Deuteronomy. I love this verse. Deuteronomy 15 and verse 10. If you're a note taker, number one. Generosity brings God's blessing on your life. Generosity brings God's blessing on your life. And family, you don't want man's blessing. You do not want man's blessing. You know, I've had men bless me and then take the blessing back. Come on, somebody. You can identify with that, right? I've had people tell me they were going to bless me and never did bless me. I've had people say, you know, here's a blessing, and then they wanted it back. They got offended. You don't want man's blessing. You want the blessing of the Lord. It makes one rich, and it adds no sorrow. Proverbs 10:22. Right, church? So notice that a spirit of generosity will bring God's blessing on your life. Now, this is Bible. This is so awesome. I am so addicted to it. Look what the Bible says. Give freely and spontaneously. I call that a cheerful giver. Wouldn't you in the New Testament? So just like the other day with Tess, you know, I saw that need. Nobody had to force me. I just gave spontaneously. And I was happy to do it freely, spontaneously. That's an attitude of generosity. You see a need and you meet it. You saw the story of the young man in our church that he's here today because of the generosity of a family in our church that took him in and asked for no rent. That generosity brought transformation in that man and now his family's life for eternity. Amen. So a spirit of generosity is someone who gives. They see a need in the church and they give. They see a project and they give. They see a hurting person and they give. You say, Pastor, I don't have the money. Well, you have a smile. You can text. You can email. You can go buy. You can send a card. You can encourage them. You can mow their yard. You can wash their dishes. You can clean their house. Amen. All right, so give freely and spontaneously. Watch this, family. Don't have a stingy heart. The way you handle matters like this, like what? Giving. The way you handle matters like this, what does it do? Triggers God. You know, I've read books with the title, How to Trigger a Miracle. I've read books with the title, How to Trigger a Breakthrough. How to Trigger and Activate God for a New Level. We're right here because I love you so much. I'm teaching you from the Word of God how to trigger a miracle from God in your life. How to activate, how to motivate, how to trigger, how to get God to move in your life. It's through a spirit and attitude of generosity that when you see a need, you meet it freely and spontaneously. You're a cheerful giver. We're not stingy. We don't hoard. We're not selfish. We're not out to get, but we're out to give. We're out to bless and refresh. Right here's a good Selah time to praise the Lord, church. Come on, somebody. Everybody give the Lord a praise. Did y'all see this? Well, you know, when I start making $1,000 a week, then I'll start tithing, giving offerings, helping other people. No. You're going to do with $1,000 what you're doing with $100. Whatever. Jesus said that. I didn't. Oh, I loved you, Pastor, till you said that. I didn't say it. Jesus said that. He said, if you're faithful with the small, you'll be faithful with the large. So however I give on $100 a week will be how I give on $1,000 a week. So God's not going to give me $1,000 a week until I'm faithful with $100 a week. Because what I do with $100, I'll do with $1,000. And how I handle these matters of giving can trigger God for a better job, a raise, a bonus, debt cancellation, move on the heart of someone to plant a seed in my life and my family as I plant seeds in the lives of other people. So it says it triggers God. What does it trigger? Your God's blessing. Come on now, how many of you want God's blessing on your life today? Would you raise your hand? Those of you at home, how many of you want God's blessing? Those of you watching in Finland, how many want God's blessing on your life? You all do. How do I get it? Through a spirit, an attitude of generosity. You give freely and you give spontaneously. And he said it triggers God's blessing in everything you do, comma, at work, your job, your business, your vendors, your clients, your sales, and every venture. Your investments, your real estate, your stocks, your bond, mutual funds, your retirement, your business partners, your every venture in your life, parenting, raising children, every venture in your life, building a family. How many of you want the blessing of God on your life, everything you do, your job and your family? How does that happen? How do you trigger it? By being generous, by being a giver of my time, my talent, and my treasure as the team comes out. All right, number two. Can you handle one more real quick? Number two. It increases a spirit of generosity as the team comes out. It increases my happiness. It increases my happiness. You heard the young man say on the testimony how he had a life full of depression. Well, you know, this is one way to overcome depression, is creating and cultivating. Because, you see, God is a giver, so he produces godly Christians who are givers, right? So if when I'm giving, listen very carefully to this statement. When I'm giving, I'm more like God than at any other time. When you and I are giving, for God so loved, he gave. When we're giving of our time and our talent and our treasure, you're more like God at that moment than any other time in your life. Because the nature of our God is to be a giver. So number two, what will it do? The world of the generous, it should be happier. So look what it says in the scripture, Proverbs 22 and verse 9. Proverbs 22 and verse 9. Can we all read it together out loud on three? Wake up, everybody. Can y'all read it with me? One, two, three. Wow. So the world of the generous, it should be increasing. It should be getting larger. If it's not, I need to be honest with myself and ask why. And then what does it do? It says that it causes God's blessing on our job, our career, our vendors, our clients, our sales, our promotion, our bonuses, and then all of our ventures, parenting, choosing the right mate, choosing the right date, choosing the right job, choosing the right investments. And then what? I should be happier. I should be happier with a generous spirit. It says, happy is the generous man or woman. One more scripture, Acts 20. Then we're going to receive communion. Acts 20 and verse 35. Look what it says. I've shown you in all things that by working hard. Everybody say working hard. Folks, you got to work hard to be a success. Right? You got to do what other people won't do to be a success. It says working hard. In this way we help the weak. Remember the words that Jesus said. What did Jesus say? There is more happiness. How many of you want more? And you know what the more is for. Right? There is more happiness in giving than in receiving. So the world of the generous person, they're not a miser. They're not miserable. They're not depressed. They're not up and down because they're taking Mekki's 31 days of random act of kindness, not letting a day go by without doing one. As a result, they're more happy than the average bear. Amen, church. Say it with me. I am a generous person, and my world is getting larger and larger, and I am getting happier and happier. Give the Lord a praise. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah.